Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this wonderful Father's Day. There are several announcements that I would like to make, but before we get started, how about greeting your neighbors and passing the peace of the love of God? Now let us continue our worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. Lots of announcements, but I would like for you to turn to the back of your bulletin. There's one in particular I would like to call your attention to. If you notice that there are tickets available for the spaghetti supper, I don't want to read everything about it, but I would like to call that to your attention. We are participating in the Cyclist Ride for Life, and we're going to have a spaghetti supper to celebrate this participation. And if you are interested in attending, we would like for you to either, there are two things you can do. One, when the attendance register is passed down the aisle, all you need to do is to sign your name that you would like to attend the spaghetti supper and that you would like to have reservations for that. You may also call the church office and let Emmy know that you would like to have reservations for the spaghetti supper. And if you're willing to help by bringing a package of spaghetti or a jar of spaghetti sauce or whatever, we would certainly appreciate that. That would be something we would greatly enjoy your participation in. There's a lot of information in the newsletter, and I'm just going to do a couple of little teasers for you. One is the bags of grace. Now, I'll let you find out where the bags of grace are and what they are. You can go to your newsletter and find out what a bag of grace is. I also want to give you a teaser about Christian books collection. The Shell Doula class is involved in collecting Christian books. Now, go to the newsletter and find out what they're collecting them for. Not that they won't all want to read them, but what are they collecting these Christian books for? Read your newsletter and find out. I also want to call to your attention, I noticed you found it in the bullet in your newsletter, but Marilyn Murphy from our congregation was elected to the jurisdictional conference. We did a lot of things at annual conference, not just elect delegates for jurisdictional and general conference. By the way, our district superintendent was elected, and one of the Greenwood delegates, Roy McCoy, was also elected to be a delegate. We did a lot of things at annual conference, and your delegates, Marilyn Murphy, Kit Atkins, Harriet Mays, and I, and Terry, and Jessica Went for the youth, would love to share the news and the events and things that we experienced at annual conference. But rather than take up a full worship period, we would like to invite you to have us visit with you and have a discussion over punch and cookies or ice cream or whatever you would like, whether it's a Wednesday afternoon for a visit or whether you would like for us to do that on a Sunday evening. Just call the office and indicate your interest, and we will be glad to set something up and work with you, because a lot of things happened at annual conference that we would like to share with you. I would also like to call your attention to a wonderful experience that we're going to get to have next Sunday And that is the youth choir from Dunwoody United Methodist Church will be performing, providing the music both at both services next Sunday. So you want to mark your calendar and make certain you get to come and hear those wonderful young people singing. It's a treat that you don't want to miss. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ. Would all who are able please stand as we read the call to worship? How majestic is God's name in all the earth. We see God's glory in the expanse of the heavens. Plants and animals are God's creation. All that God has made reflects God's goodness. We are created in God's image to relate to God. We receive great abundance and care from our Creator. God bless us day by day with good things. We are given dominion over the works of God. Gather to praise God and greet one another. Celebrate all the ways God is revealed to us. We worship the Creator and Sustainer of all things. We rejoice in the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. invite you to join with me now in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. Triune God, known to us in more ways than we can count, we marvel at the mystery of life and wonder at your attention to our lives. As we ponder the vast expanse of space, we are fascinated by distance too extensive to understand. The times we have measured are a tiny ripple in your eternity. Yet you have honored this planet by revealing yourself in the life and ministry of Jesus and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Let us experience your presence in this time of worship. Amen. Let us join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Genesis, the first chapter, through the second chapter and the fourth verse. This is a very familiar passage that many of you can probably quote at least large sections of. This story of creation can be found beginning on page 1 of your pew Bibles in the Old Testament section. I'm going to read the first 5 verses of the first chapter and the first 4 verses of the second chapter. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now beginning with chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Our epistle reading for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. These can be found on page 227 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. In this passage, Paul provides the fullest benediction at the end of any of his letters. In this passage, Paul affirms the Trinity and indicates a significance in his order. Paul suggests that the grace of Christ leads one toward the love of God, and the love of God, when actualized through the Spirit, produces fellowship with God and man. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father's Day prayer is printed in your bulletin. If you would follow along with me, please, there are places for your response. Gracious God, we thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to each other. Today, we pray for our fathers who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love. Lord, in your love. For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them. Lord, in your love. For men, though without children of their own, who like fathers have nurtured and cared for us. Lord, in your love. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families.
Lord, in your love. Loving God, our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. And let us continue our pastoral prayer. Almighty God, as we are reminded today of the great mystery, the joy of the Trinity, and as we celebrate family leadership, for those who know not by themselves, but with assistance from mothers and sons and daughters, participate in the family of God. We thank you again for each family represented here today, for the bond that binds them close together. And we pray for those who are bound together and yet distance separates them this day, for faith that nurtures and sustains, for worship that renews our spirits. We pray for those within our church family who are sick, suffering, hurting this day. For we know that on times like this, sometimes our emotions are fragmented. Our hearts ache for another time and place. And so, dear God, as we pray for all of these who have special needs within our family this day, praying with the assurance, dear God, that you hear us, that you will answer. For those far away from home, as we've already mentioned, serving wherever they have been asked to go, for policemen and firemen who protect our city streets during the day and during the night, and those who ride our highways, enabling us to rest without fear. And for our faith that keeps us calm in the midst of horrific storms. For our faith that nurtures us during the day and during the night, that grows within us and does not let us down in the different ages and stages of life. Holy God, we give you thanks. Be with those in leadership over us, within the church, within our nation, and we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Thank you. Let us pray. Dear God, for all gifts, too numerous for us to even count them, we give you humble thanks for the privilege to return to the storehouse a portion of that which we have so graciously received. Bless these gifts, Almighty God. Bless giver and gift, and those who have not or those who choose not to give this day. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're so glad to see so many of our friends here this morning. And lots of the friends that we have down here with us this morning were with us this past week at Vacation Bible School, where we went on a journey back to Nazareth, and we learned all about when Jesus was a child, what it was like for him when he was a little boy, and what were some of the things that that we learned about. Those of y'all that were at Bible school with us this week, what did we learn about Jesus? What were some of the things that he did when he was a child? Nevada, what did he do? He built things. He did. He made lots of things, just like we might do today. What else did he do? Griffin, you remember anything that we learned about? Did he go? He went to church. And did he have a family just like we have a family? Yes. And he had a name just like we have a name, right? And we learned lots of stories about him from his mother, Mary. And one of the things that we know, one of the things that we learned about Jesus was that he loved a lot. And one of the ways that Jesus loved a lot was he helped to take care of people. And we know that children have always been so, so important to Jesus and still are today. Each of you are so important to Jesus, as are all the, bless you, Maya, as are all the children. And so this week at Healthy Learn, I mean, this week at Bible School, our mission project was to support a very important organization in Greenwood called Healthy Learners, where they provide all sorts of medical care and services for children that without them would not have it. And so each day we brought change, and we changed a child through our giving. And what were some of the other things that we brought every day? Can anybody remember?
Toys.
Toys, yes. Sam brought a big box of Legos, and he wasn't even at Bible school, but he still gave.
Ella, toothbrushes.
Toothbrushes. How many toothbrushes did we have, Miss Alice? A lot.
84
toothbrushes we brought this week. Trace, what else? Crayons. Nevada? Toothpaste. Yes, we brought all kinds of things. Children's books. That's right. Children's books and all kinds of things. So Miss Alice is going to tell us a quick total of all the money that we brought. And those of y'all that were at Bible school, you don't even know the amount from yesterday during our closing celebration. So this will be news to y'all too.
You guys know how excited I get about the totals every day. Every day you guys blew me away. And you know, Friday, you remember Friday's big total? Friday alone was $197.56. But you know what? We gave the parents an opportunity to give too, didn't we? Are you ready for this? The parents really stepped up like you guys did. And all week, plus what the parents gave on Friday, our total was $736.71. Is that changing lots of children or what?
Yeah.
Give yourselves a round, and thank you, parents, that participated in that. It was wonderful. Thank you so much on behalf of Healthy Learners.
So now you all, the congregation, have the opportunity to change a child as well. And we would like to challenge you as a congregation or personally or maybe as a Sunday school class or a circle group or a men's group or maybe the men's softball team because they have a game tomorrow night. Maybe they would want to do this or the singles group or any group that you're affiliated with at church. We would like to challenge you to match that total, to continue to change the lives of Greenwood's children. And, you know, it just takes a little bit from everybody to reach that total because we did have, two $100 bills that were given and some tens and twenties and fives and ones, but the majority of the over $700 that we raised was from pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters that the children brought out of their piggy bank. So we would like to challenge y'all to continue to change the lives of children. And you can make those, if you want to write a check, you can make it directly out to Healthy Learners and give those to the church office, and we'll get all of that money to Healthy Learners. So thank you, children, for a job well done this week. And y'all have a great day, and be sure and wish your dads a happy Father's Day. And it's time for extended session. So if you're going to go with us to extended session, meet me at the door.
Thanks, guys. You did awesome.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 16th verse of the 28th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. There is a misprint in our bulletin. The church council will be on the 29th of June. We have to give 10 days notice before church conferences, and that would not give you 10 days. So we will be meeting on the 29th. Time still the same, location still the same. This past week at annual conference, I went to the United Methodist Men's Luncheon. And I heard a statement. Statement went something like this: that when you reach the man, the father of the household, the potential to reaching them for the cause of the kingdom of God is 90-something percent. It's astronomical. When you reach the mother, it's over 20-something percent. And I remember visiting at a growing church one time, and a minister said to me, he said, "We believe that if you get the children, you get the family." And so they would go out in buses and bus in children and all that. But they didn't get the support when they got the children. So the crux of ministry was resting on the shoulders of a few. I say that this morning to remind us as men of the awesome responsibilities that we have in order to nurture our family in the right way and for the cause of the kingdom. And with that, I would like to see the hand of how many that are visiting today because you're with your father. Are there any worshiping today? Just raise your hand. See some? 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6. Yeah. Won't you make them welcome? Thank you. It's an awesome responsibility, and I remember hearing Billy Graham years ago when I was thinking about whether that I even in this world of ours wanted to endeavor to raise a family, and he said this: "It's a tremendous privilege to raise a godly family in a sinful world." And prayerfully, that's what we are doing, that we are in the process of nurturing those who will follow along after us in the cause of the kingdom of God. Also, at annual conference, I remember when we closed some churches. My heart was heavy as those names were read out of churches being closed, and some that I have known about and have had friends to pastor through the years. And as we would meet in the hallway, we would talk about when they served certain churches that were now being closed and what that meant to us and places that we had served. But also there were churches that were growing and prospering and thriving. One church in particular now has about 1,400 members in this town of Lexington, where at one time they only had a couple of hundred. And the minister was talking about how that he did not fully understand sometimes the Word of God when it would come to him. And sometimes the Word of God would come to him through a teacher, a layperson in the church. And one of those times, a layperson came to him and said, "Pastor, I think we should have another Bible school." And he looked at her with that faraway look in his eyes like, "What in the world do you mean?" And I would like to say how meaningful Bible school was here at Main Street last week, and the teachers and those in leadership, and they did such a phenomenal job. But I suspect if I would say, "Okay, good, now we're going to have another one this coming week in the afternoon," I would probably have one of those "preachers, what do you mean" looks. Because I know for myself, I'm rather tired. I'm looking forward to a week of non-Bible school. A time to rest and do some visitation and things of that nature. And so he was sort of the same nature. He said, "Well, let's talk about it." And you know how we do as Methodists. We say, "Let's take it to a committee." So he took it to a committee. And they started another Bible school. One in the morning for those who are available in the morning and one in the evening for those who have to work and can't bring their children. Now they have three Bible schools, one in the morning, one after lunch, and one in the evening. And if my memory's correct, they have 800 kids in vacation Bible school. I heard somebody moan. That's a lot of responsibility. And yet, as a pastor, sometimes I don't always know how God is moving. The Word of God sometimes comes from you. Sometimes it comes from me. It doesn't come from the lay people all the time, and it doesn't come from the clergy all the time. We are a family. We work together to understand what God's direction and God's leadership is all about here and now in Main Street. And so we endeavor to listen, to be directed by God. I remember a few years ago when I first was out on the flight line in the military, I saw a very unusual truck. It was what they call a Dodge six-pack. It meant that you could ride six people in a truck. Never heard of such. But they came to the conclusion that if they could haul more troops, then they could get the job done. So six people would hop in the truck, or however many was going down to the end of the runway and do what they call an end of the runway check. Or they could go down at the other end and do a post-flight check. But they could all ride together in one truck. Saturn was very disappointed in its automobile sales. It was trying to figure out what it could do. And so the engineers got together and they began to think about how that they could open up this subcompact that they had and make it more accessible. So the engineers got together with a roll of duct tape. And they marked off on the door, on the side of the car rather, where they thought maybe a door could be placed. And they took a saw and they cut out around that duct tape where they thought this door would go and discovered a whole new cargo section that had been concealed behind closed doors. I remember a few years ago, I was getting in one of my friend's trucks, and we had our golf clubs, and I was going to put it in the back, and I couldn't quite get the front seat. He said, there's a door there. I said, reach right there and open it up, and lo and behold, here was a third door on a pickup truck. I'd never seen such in my life. You could lay your stuff right in. I said, wow. Yesterday, I was riding past a Ford dealership, and I looked on their lot, and practically every vehicle I saw was a four-door pickup truck. Unusual. Not only that, some of them even have lids that go over the bed so that they can be raised up and down, and you can make long trips and stick your cargo in there, and it doesn't get wet, and you can take it off. All new ideas. When I think about the church, I've said for many years that every time we open new ministry, God brings in more families. As I think about Main Street and the doors that we have into our church, I wonder, maybe if we had a door over here and somebody would come with a masonry bit chainsaw and we could cut a hole here, would that mean more families? Are there places in our church that we need to unlock some doors? But not so much physically. But what about emotionally? What about the hurting children within our community? Are there hurting children, as Alice talked about earlier, that are not being reached by our church? Are there hurting wives and fathers that needs to know that there's a loving, caring, nurturing family at Main Street that would love to reach out to them and to pull them in and to make them feel? As I think about the Trinity, and I think about God as God is that instigating one. In the beginning, the scriptures read a while ago, that God created. That God was the one that so loved the world that He gave. It was God that was instigating this action throughout history. It was Jesus Christ that was the manifestation of that love. Christ came and He died. And so in the Lent and the Advent season, we've been affirming all this in the church history. And now we're in the season of Pentecost. That Spirit that brooded over the water. That Spirit that was there with Christ and enabled Him to do His wondrous miracles. That Spirit now that's with you and with me, with us. As we endeavor to be the manifestation of the body of Christ. Today we celebrate that day that separates us. Separates us from Judaism. Separates us from Muslims. I remember standing in a mosque one day and the imam said, "You believe in three gods." And so as I think of this triune God, I think about the mystery that God is. That wonderful mystery. God in three persons. And Jesus gives to us here our mission. He gives it to us. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It's not easy to be a disciple. When I was in officers' candidate school, they had a young man there, and I will tell you, he was different than all the rest of us. They allowed us to run the 3-mile course that we had to run on the second day that I was there, for time, I might add. This guy ran every step of the way in combat boots. We had on tennis shoes. People laughed at him until he ran past them. Maybe 2% body fat, you know, one of those type guys. Kind of dark complexion. Good looking guy. I told him one day, I said, "I'll pray for you as chaplain. I'm going to pray for you every day." And every day when his memory comes across my mind, I pray for God to bless him and his men. Because they go where no one else goes. the special ops. He made me aware that before we do put the first troop on the ground, that they have already been on the ground and they've been into the community and they know where the targets are and they know what needs to be done. They come in and blend in, or they come in and they drop in on low-flying aircraft and drop into a hillside and it's do what they need to do and they're snatched back out. As I said, he was a different type of person. Some of my friends were Green Berets. When I was in Rotary over in Hartsville, there was one guy, and he was a Navy SEAL. We talked about his training, and we talked about what it meant to be a Navy SEAL. We talked about how many people just don't make it. And of course, there's always the Marines. You got to speak about them. Especially in a church where there are some Marines, because I know I'll catch it later on. But my friend was talking about his training one day, and he said that he was in the water and he had fulfilled his task, and they didn't have on any breathing apparatus, and they had a task they had to fulfill. And he was on his way to the surface when his buddy tapped him and pointed at something, and he realized that he had not completed his mission. And he turned around and went back to the bottom. And he said, the next thing I remember, they were resuscitating me on the side of the pool. That was his commitment to his training. Jesus speaks here to us, and he says to us, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Has the last person to be won to Christ at Main Street United Methodist Church been fulfilled? Has the last mission for this church to be obligated to been accomplished? Are there people to still be won in Greenwood, South Carolina, within 100 feet of this church? A few weeks ago, on a Sunday, Lee came to me and said, there's a young man extremely distressed. He wants to talk to the pastor. I don't look forward to those types of meetings, especially on Sunday morning. So I said, okay. And so Lee and I sat down with him, and I was concerned that the young man might have been suicidal. He was 19 and homeless. My heart went out to him. And so I spent the next day trying to help locate him a job and taking him and getting him a room and trying to work out some details. I was not successful in every area of work. This little kid was an artist, and he drew a picture, and the picture's in my office, and he gave it to me. I came in on Tuesday morning, and or Wednesday, one of the, either Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't remember exactly which, and there was a note, and then he said, Terry, there's a note from the young man. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, now what? And the letter went something like this: Pastor Terry, thank you so much for your help. I have found a job. I'm working this place. And he gave me the name and the number of the place. He says, thank your church, William. That's just one person that we were able to reach. How many more people are there out there for you and I to reach for the cause of the kingdom of God? How many people are we willing to tell the story? They are United Methodist Churches that next year at annual conference, the names will be read out and they will be closing. Is it because there are no people in the area where they are ministering? There are churches that will be thriving and will be growing, and their names will be read, and it will be exciting. I think the choice is ours. Which one do we want to be? And which one are we committed to being as disciples of Christ? Amen. Closing hymn number 571, Go Make All Disciples. The benediction is printed in your bulletin. It's a responsive benediction. Christ walks with us in newness of life. Go forth in confidence and joy. We are the only scriptures some will read. Jesus will be known by our deeds. Let everything that breathes praise God, who equips us for our ministry.